Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Or we stream over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people have to say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If that sounds like National Public Radio, well, then you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, 639-0008, or if you're outside of the county, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is saving lives. My first guest is here to give us recommendations that could save our lives during an earthquake. This morning, there was a magnitude 6.9 earthquake down in Ecuador. We still don't know the damage or the casualties that this earthquake caused, but you can imagine that it will probably be extensive. Taking simple precautions before an earthquake strikes may mean the difference between surviving or being a statistic. If you have questions about earthquake preparedness for our guest, you can join in the conversation at 639-0008. Shirley Smith is the Manager of Development for the Ventura Chapter of the American Red Cross. She shares in the duties of fund development programs. Shirley facilitates many of the fundraising events, develops an integrated marketing program aimed at fundraising efforts, and represents the American Red Cross at community events and organizations such as Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Prior to joining the American Red Cross, Shirley was the assistant store manager for Hollister & Company and a marketing executive and event coordinator for MIE2 out in Palm Desert. Welcome to the show, Shirley. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. It couldn't be more timely with the earthquake down in Ecuador. I mean, it reminds us that we are living on a fault line right here in California. In fact, there's a small fault that runs directly underneath the 300 block of West Main Street in Ventura. So despite living with this constant threat of earthquakes here, most people, myself included, are unprepared. Why do you think that is?
I think it's just because we don't think it's going to happen to us. We see it happen all around the world, and we don't think that it could happen to us. But it's I'm not a geologist, but studies show that we are due for a big earthquake.
We're due? You're calling an earthquake right here on
I'm
Billy the Brain?
I'm calling it. We're due.
All right. Well, that's interesting. There's a certain amount of truth to that. I mean, that people just, if we haven't had an earthquake lately, then they don't think about it. But the reality is we've been having small earthquakes throughout Southern California. Most recently, I think it was earlier this week, we had a small trembler down at the border between San Diego and Mexico.
Right.
So these little relief earthquakes are happening all the time. Shouldn't that be a wake-up call that more people would want to get prepared?
You would think. I mean, we know it's coming, and the best message I can give is just for everyone to be prepared. But most people don't know how to do that. I was reading a magazine article not too long ago that said two out of every 10 Americans feel that they are not prepared for a major disaster. But 86% of them, if they knew how to get prepared, they would.
All right. So it's just a question really of knowing how to get prepared for the disaster that stops most people from doing it.
Right. And I think a lot of people think, you know, it's expensive and it's very time consuming when it's really not. It's very simple, a couple easy steps, and they'll be prepared.
All right. Well, let's break it down. What steps should we take to get prepared for the big one?
I would say you need to have a plan. Get with your family. And I think the most important thing is to have a contact that's preferably out of state. If you don't know anyone out of state, someone outside of the area, for example, if, you know, dad's at work and mom's on the soccer field with the kids and there's an earthquake, they know to call Aunt Debbie in Michigan. She's going to be their point of contact. We want to try to eliminate as many calls at once as possible. So if you can have one contact, she can kind of be the intermediary between the messages of the families.
All right. Now, that brings up an interesting point, because we're going to come to this a little bit later, but now's a good time. And that is, during a major catastrophe like that, things that we take for granted are going to disappear. And among those things that we take for granted is phone service,
right?
Both cellular phone system and landline phone system. So if it's Aunt Mary in Michigan that I'm going to be talking to and I can't get out, how does that help me to coordinate the efforts?
Well, if you make a quick phone call to Aunt Mary, just letting her know that, okay, I'm okay, I'm safe, I'm fine, then the next person that calls Aunt Mary, she can say, hey, by the way, your husband just called, he's safe, he's fine. And then she can call other family members that may have not been affected, letting them know that you're okay. So she's the one that can be making the phone calls and not you. You want to limit how many emergency phone calls you make and make them very short, okay, just to let them know that you're safe and that you're okay.
All right. Well, that's good. So step one is have a plan in place before it happens. Step two is have a contact, preferably one outside of the state. If not outside of the state, outside of the area. What would be the next step?
Well, usually if you talk to families, there's about four or five locations that they spend most of their time. Usually it's work, home, school, maybe church, maybe sports field. So knowing what to do at each of those locations is very important. Knowing the evacuation plans for each of those locations, the top four or five places that you spend most of your time.
All right. Now,
so that's what I say is the next step.
Well, all right. So far, I like that. Planning, get a contact out of state, identify the top locations where you're going to be, and then figure out what you're going to do in the case of an emergency. So far, none of these have cost any money, Shirley. So
right.
That's kind of nice.
Right.
All right. So what comes next?
The next part is building a kit. You want to have a kit with some key items in there that if something happens and you're not able to get out of your home or you have to be in your car for a while, that you're going to be okay. Having a kit in your car is extremely important. Having one in your house is probably even more important.
All right. Now, when you say a kit, what exactly do you mean by a kit?
Well, you want to have water in there, and preferably 1 gallon per day per person. And I would say you'd probably want to have a 2-week supply at home. An evacuation supply, you'd probably want to have a 3-day supply. So water is the most important. Food, obviously, you want to get things that are high in protein, low in sugar. You're already going to be stressed out and on edge. And, you know, this isn't the time to teach your children to like spinach. So try to put foods in there that your family is going to enjoy. Peanut butter is a real good one. It lasts a very long time, and it's high in protein. Fiber bars, things like that. We have these things at the Red Cross that are called heater meals that you take them out of the box, you open them up, and within 10 minutes it gets steaming hot. And there's vegetables, there is meats, and that usually has about a 5-year shelf life. So you can purchase those heater meals.
We're talking to Shirley Smith, everybody. Now you've piqued my interest. Heater meals?
Heater meals.
How do you fire one of those suckers up? What is it that causes the heat?
You know what? I don't know the science behind it, but it's incredible. It's a little tiny, maybe 8-inch box, and it's loaded with great stuff, proteins, high in fat, carbs, that type of thing. And you open the box and you open the bag, and then you put the box in the bag. You seal the bag. As soon as you seal it, it heats up. Within 10 minutes, it's steaming, and you have yourself a hot meal. It's actually pretty delicious.
Very interesting. So food and water, these heater meals are part of the food repertoire. What else should be in that kit?
Flashlight is very important. You want to avoid candles. Don't pack any candles.
Now, why is that? It makes me laugh when you say that. Why don't you want to have candles?
Well, if you just had a huge earthquake, stuff is going to be falling everywhere. If you light that match, I mean, you don't want to have earthquake and a house fire all at the same time. So eliminate the use of candles and just have flashlights. And have, preferably, you want to keep a flashlight near every bed. And if you think about it, having it under the bed might not be the safest thing, because during an earthquake, it's probably going to roll. So keeping it in between your mattresses is something that you know it's always going to be there.
Wait a minute. I'm thinking of the pea and the princess here. Are you talking about putting a flashlight under the mattress before the box spring?
I am.
Wouldn't that cause keeping you to kind of sleep funny?
Well, maybe at the foot of the bed or at the head of the bed. But that way, you're insured that it's not going to roll around and you know where it's going to be.
Or you could just buy a square flashlight and then it doesn't roll.
There you go.
All right. So flashlights are important. Candles are a no-no.
Yes.
All right. What else?
So flashlights with batteries. Medication, even. You know, I would say about a 7-day supply of medication, either Tylenol, Advil, Excedrin, stuff like that. Or if you have medication that you take on a regular basis, make sure to have that in there. That stuff's important. Extra clothes are important. Shoes and blankets are important. So stuff like that. It's things that you would take if you're going to go camping, minus the tent and barbecue.
All right, so everything but the tent and the barbecue pit that you would need for camping, right, you want to have available in the kit. Clothes are something that I didn't think about until you came in and brought it to my attention, but it occurs to me that during the Hurricane Katrina thing that Procter & Gamble ran those wonderful commercials about Tide and how they were rolling in mobile washing machines to help people who had forgotten their clothes, like Billy the Brain would have done, and they needed to clean the clothes that they were actually wearing. So keeping clean clothes, very, very critical. Now, one of the things, Shirley, that strikes me about all of this is much of what you're talking about is perishable. So, yeah, I've got my water, I set my water aside, but water, even in a proper container, may only last for a certain amount of time. So what suggestions do you have for keeping the food, keeping the water, even some of the clothes, because I may outgrow the clothes that I have in there. How do you keep them fresh? How often should you check and make sure that your kit is current and up to date?
I would update the kit, making sure between every 6 months and a year, making sure all the items in there are still good, that you can still fit into your clothes. Between 6 months and a year, I think, is the best thing. And for the clothes, you want to think of clothes that long sleeves, stuff that you can put on to, if you have to get out of your house, it's going to avoid you from getting cut. You know, so you want to maybe even a bigger pair of pants, sweatpants, a jacket, that kind of thing. So if you're getting out of the house, there's probably going to be broken glass, stuff like that, that will avoid you from getting injured.
Oh, now there's a great thought. I hadn't thought about that. But you want to protect your exposed skin, so mm-hmm. long sleeves, long pants, better than shorts and a tank top,
right,
that you're going out in case you get shards of glass. There's also the added benefit of what if it's cold, because you're going to be away from your home for a while at night when it does drop down in temperature-wise, and so you want to have something that can be both warm in the evening and cool in the daytime.
Absolutely.
As well. We're talking to Shirley Smith, everybody, from the American Red Cross. We're talking about earthquake preparedness, and this couldn't be more timely because we had a magnitude 6.9 earthquake down in Ecuador this morning. It reminds us all that we're living on a fault line. We want to be prepared in case the big one hits here in Ventura, California. Shirley, we've got to stop for just a couple of seconds to take some commercial breaks. We'll be right back. We'll talk more about earthquake preparedness then.
Excellent.
And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday, here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Today's very topical. We're talking about earthquake preparedness. In case you didn't hear, there was a magnitude 6.9 earthquake down in Ecuador in South America, and it reminds us we're living on a fault line. So I've invited in a very special guest, Shirley Smith from the American Red Cross, who is here talking to us about earthquake preparedness. Now, before we went away to the commercial break, we talked about some things that you can do to be prepared. Some of these things don't cost any money at all. Some of these things might cost a little bit of time and effort to put them together. But here's what we have so far. Create a plan so that you know what you're doing in case the emergency happens. Have a contact point someplace, preferably out of state, but if not out of state, certainly just out of the area. Then think about those places that you commonly go, whether it's work, church, school, whatever, and figure out an escape plan from each of those places. And then finally, we were talking about building an emergency kit. So far in the kit, we've thrown in water, food, including those nifty meals that you can heat up from the American Red Cross. We talked about clothing and pretty much have everything that you need that you would take on a camping trip, minus the tent and the sleeping bags. So is there anything else, Shirley, that we've missed in our kit that we need to have prepared for an earthquake?
A first aid kit.
Ah, of course.
Definitely.
American Red Cross, you would naturally think of first aid. What do you want to have in your first aid kit?
You know, every first aid kit pretty much has the basic Band-Aids, ointment, gauze. You know, they have some aspirin in there. And you can purchase those through the American Red Cross. And they have many different sizes that you can get. You can get a larger one that has tons of that kind of stuff, or you can get a smaller one that just has the basics. I actually have one on my keychain, and it just has a few little basic things in there.
Let's see this. You actually have an emergency preparedness kit on your keychain. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't see this, but it's about the size, 3 inches square, maybe 4 inches by 3 inches, and inside it's just got the most basic of elements. But I guess if you're trapped in your car, that is a perfect thing to have. Now, you brought up that a lot of these things, including the first aid kits and the meals, are available at the Red Cross. So if people, like myself, I don't have a first aid kit, or at least I don't have one in my car, how would I go about finding out what do you guys offer at the American Red Cross, and then how would I purchase those things?
You can go to www.arcventura.org, or you can just go to redcross.org, and you can shop our store, our online store, and it'll outline all the type of first aid kits, all the type of emergency backpacks that we have, and it'll lay out everything that's in them. Also, another thing that I want to point out is it's important to have a radio inside your kit so that you can turn to the local radio station and they can let you know what's going on and how to evacuate. So that's very important too.
Okay, so add a radio to that kit as well. Does the American Red Cross sell radios, particularly those hand crank radios?
We do. We sell those radios. A lot of those radios come inside of our emergency backpacks. We have backpacks that are already packed with everything that you need to survive for about a week with a family of four. You know, and those aren't very expensive, between $80 and $100.
Oh, good.
And they have a shelf life of about 5 years, so.
All right, good. So about $80 to $100 protects your family if you have an average family of four for up to how many years?
It's has a five-year shelf life.
Five-year shelf life.
So you just need to add the water and a few other items that your family finds necessary.
Cool. We're talking to Shirley Smith, everybody, from the American Red Cross. Now, we've got our kit. We're all prepared. We've got all of that figured out. The unusual thing about earthquakes, not tornadoes or hurricanes or anything else, you don't get any advance notice with an earthquake. You know, with a tornado, you might have a couple of hours. With a hurricane, you might have up to a couple of weeks to know in advance. But once the earthquake hits, what are some of the immediate things that you should think about after the earthquake happens that you should be doing?
Well, usually an earthquake, there's aftershocks afterwards. So you need to be prepared for those. And I remember when I was little, it used to be stop, drop, and roll. Well, now they've changed it to drop, cover, and hold on. And basically, the meaning behind that is if there's an earthquake, you want to get to the ground, cover yourself, but not just get under something. You want to actually hold on to it, because if it's still shaking and if you're underneath the table is probably going to move and you're just still stuck there. So you want to make sure you hold on to the table or the desk, whatever it is, and then you, with your other hand, cover your neck or your head. So after an earthquake, you want to first make sure it's safe. Maybe wait, you know, a few seconds, couple minutes before you move, because chances are there's going to be an aftershock afterwards, and you still want to make sure that you're covered.
All right. Now, during an emergency situation like that, your adrenaline is really, really rushing. I mean, you're going to be amped up. Do you have any tips on how to sort of calm yourself down to prepare either for the aftershock or what steps you're going to take next?
Well, if you're already prepared and you've already talked about it with your family, that's going to alleviate a lot of stress, because you know what to do. You're already prepared. You have everything you need. You know where your first aid kit is. You know where your emergency kit is. So, like I said, being prepared is the most important thing, because that's going to take away a lot of stress. Other than that, you know, it sounds redundant, but try to stay as calm as you can. And I would say pray first.
All right. Good advice. We're talking to Shirley Smith, everybody, from the American Red Cross. Now, In the event of an earthquake, how long should listeners be prepared to be without services, things like water, electricity, and so forth?
You know, I would say prepare for a few hours. I mean, you never know how long it's going to take the fire department, the police department, to get where you are. If it's a major earthquake, there's going to be a lot of barriers in the way. There's going to be a lot of roadblocks. So just try to stay calm. As long as you have your food and your water, your first aid kit, check for any injuries that you have. I would say first take care of those, and then just stay tuned to the radio.
Okay. Now, that's good. A lot of people's initial reaction, Shirley, during an earthquake would be, well, now that the earthquake is over and I'm sure that there are no aftershocks, I'm going to jump in the car and I'm going to drive away. Good idea or bad idea?
You know what? Like I said, I would listen to the radio to see what they're instructing you to do, because they're probably going to have helicopters flying around and letting you know where the open areas are. But, you know, if that happens, that's just going to create a major traffic jam. So I would, if you can, try to stay where you are if you feel that it's safe.
Okay. All right. Now, after an earthquake, a major earthquake of that magnitude, 6.9, services that we take for granted, things like the fire, the police, ambulance, even the hospitals, may not be available. So what do you recommend that our listeners do when they don't have these vital services available to them? Because the police are going to be tied up doing other things if it's a major earthquake.
Right. You know, stay together with your family. Make sure everyone's safe. Contact your contacts that you have set up beforehand. Let them know what's going on. And, you know, I would try to stay, like I said, stay where you can, because the police, the fire will eventually get to you. And if you try to move or go, you know, start walking and, you know, like I said, an aftershock could happen again, and then you're out in the middle of nowhere. So I would try to, the best possible thing to do is to stay calm, keep your family together, have your emergency kit with you, and try to protect yourself.
Okay, good advice. We're talking to Shirley Smith, everybody, a member of the Red Cross here in Ventura County. And when emergencies like this happen, most Americans think of the Red Cross. They're usually first on site afterwards, offering help, support, and all that they can do. What are some of the things that the American Red Cross will do after an earthquake? What are some of the services that they offer?
We will start to open shelters in the area. We have contracts with many churches and businesses that, in case of an emergency, we use their facility to open up a shelter. In that shelter, we will check you in. We'll have food available, water, cots, blankets, and we'll start the communication process to your family, letting those of your family who are out of state or out of the area, letting them know that you're okay, and then starting to arrange for transportation.
Now, how can we know where these places are going to be, these facilities that the Red Cross set up? Do you publish those in advance of an earthquake?
We do have those, but, you know, we try not to let people know ahead of time, because if that shelter is affected, then everyone's going to be thinking they're going to go there, and you know that shelter may be completely broken in. So, like I said, listen to the radio, and the radio will have that information of where to go where there's a Red Cross shelter.
Cool. Shirley, where are the Red Cross offices located here in Ventura County?
We have an office in Camarillo off of Pleasant Valley.
Okay, that's good. And is that open to the public? If I wanted to drop in, you know, I'm traveling up and down the 101,
yeah,
I need an emergency kit, I can drop in and get information there
anytime.
As well. What types of information are available at the office?
We have a bunch of different brochures on the various types of disasters that could strike. Also, if you go to our website, it's extremely informative. We have all kinds of information of how to deal with different types of disasters and emergencies. Also, we have on there all our first aid and CPR classes, where you can take those, how much those cost. That's really important that you have that training, because in this kind of case, you may have to perform first aid and CPR.
It's quite possible that you do. Does the American Red Cross need volunteers right now here in Ventura County? And if so, where can some of our listeners who want to be civic-minded go to volunteer?
Absolutely. You can go visit our website, or you can call 805-987-1514. Let us know that you want to volunteer. You can attend a volunteer orientation and get signed up. We're always looking for volunteers.
Great. I'm glad to hear it. Cheryl Lee Smith, you're a delightful guest. Thank you so much for coming in and talking about earthquake preparedness with us today. Once again, what is that website? If people want to learn more information, they might be sitting at their desk at work and say, hey, you know, maybe I need to get one of those earthquake kits. Where should they go?
www.arcventura.org.
What's that again?
www.arcventura.org.
All right. Before we let you go, just tell us a little bit about yourself. Your role is the development manager at the American Red Cross. What exactly is a development manager? What is it that you do on a day-to-day basis for them?
Me, along with my team, we're responsible for securing the funds to be able to keep the Red Cross services going. Like I'm telling everyone else to be prepared, the Red Cross has to be prepared too. So we have a lot of events that we are in charge of. We work with individual donors, corporations, planned giving, making sure that we have the funds necessary, that if there is a major disaster, that the Red Cross is able to be there and provide the services that we promise.
Oh, that's wonderful. Cheryl Lee Smith, I know that you are a big sports fan from our conversations off mic. You're more than welcome to stay for our next guest as well. You've been a delightful guest. Thank you so much for being here. And remember, today's theme is saving lives.